Okay, we're going to reconvene back into open session. Mr. Crawford, would you please lead us in the pledge? Okay, I have one announcement out of closed session. A unanimous vote to reject a petition to file a late government tort claim pursuant to California Government Code Section 911.4. And then I'll turn it over to our new student representative to the board, Munbir Sanghera from the Marysville Charter Academy of the Arts.
Hello.
Okay.
So I am Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts student representative, and I'm going to start off by reading Lyndhurst High School student report. We, the Lyndhurst High School Executive Council of the Associated Student Body of the 2017 through 2018 school year, will unify the school by being an approachable ASB that empowers the voice of the students to create a comfortable environment. In hopes of fulfilling our mission statement, we kicked off the year with a back-to-school rally, and it was a great start for the first day. The parents, guardians, and friends of our students are invited to back-to-school night this Wednesday, the 23rd, to gradually ease into the new year. They will be able to tour and see the wonderful campus and classroom environment of our school. The leadership class is currently brainstorming ideas for Blazer Pride Week, so that the students, faculty, and staff can express the pride of being part of Lyndhurst High School. This will be on the week of September 25th to the 29th. We will be assigning dress-up days leading up to the rally to boost up school spirit. We are working diligently to make everything perfect and fun. Lyndhurst High School is getting ready for a great year, and the ASB is eager to fulfill each and every goal. Next, I will be reading the Marysville Charter Academy for the Arts School Report. For assemblies, MCAA's orientation for all new students was held on Friday, August 11th at 3:30 p.m. and was located at the Alan Scott Youth and Community Center. Once the students collected their schedules, tours of the campus were given by the Associated Student Body team. On Wednesday, September 13th, we will be having our first community meeting, which is dedicated to recognizing all of MCAA's 2017 spring semester honor roll students and 2016 through 2017 perfect attendance students. This will be located at MCAA's outdoor stage and will also include a game hosted by the leadership team as well as student performances. For school activities, the leadership team played games and music during lunch every day this week to get all the students excited to be back. On Thursday, August 24th, the seniors will be getting partnered up with a seventh grade student during lunch for MCAA's first Big and Little project. In this project, all the seniors and seventh graders filled out a questionnaire and will get partnered up with their best match. This will help the seventh graders feel more comfortable at a new school. On Friday, August 25th, there will be a club fair during lunch in the quad in which all the students can sign up for different clubs. Each club will have an informational poster as well as a club officer out there to answer any questions about the club. Back to school night for parents and students is on Monday, August 28th at 5:30 p.m. MCAA will be having a Spirit Week from August 30th to September 1st to get the students excited about the back to school dance. The Spirit Week will be Class Colors Day, Pajama Day, and Beach Day. The back to school dance will be on Friday, September 1st in the MCAA Quad from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. It is open to all MCAA students and will be beach themed. The Dragons United Seminar for 7th grade students is going to be on Thursday, September 7th during 9th block. This seminar is organized by the leadership team and is on the topic of bullying. Starflight is a collection of plays written, directed, and performed by MCAA students. Auditions for Starflight are going to be on Tuesday, August 22nd and Wednesday, August 23rd from 3 to 4 p.m. Starflight will take place on September 15th and 16th at the outdoor stage. Lastly, the Ashland, Oregon trip is going to be from Monday, September 18th through Friday, September 22nd. In this trip, MCA students who are interested in theater get the opportunity to go to Ashland and watch plays as well as attend theatrical workshops. That's all.
Okay, Munbeer, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
We'll move on to our presentation, beginning teacher development sort. Support, Ms. Goodman.
You ready? I'm ready. I'm ready if you're ready. All right, now I'm ready. All right. First of all, I want to thank you all for the opportunity to share the amazing and growth-producing things that we're doing to support our new teachers this year and last year through the Educator Effectiveness Grant. I know a number of you were not on the Board of Trustees when we started this journey, so I wanted to start by looking at the grant, kind of talking about the background behind it, and then we'll share some of the things that we're doing to support our beginning teachers. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Lisa Goodman, and this is my 27th year in our district, and I feel like I have to say I've had the most amazing career ever, I think. I started off as a classroom teacher here, became a full release BITSA support provider, then went into administration and became the assistant principal at Ella, and then the principal of Cordova and Browns Valley Schools, and now working with new teachers again. It's been full circle, but it's been an amazing journey, and I'm very appreciative, so thank you very much. All right, so with the Educator Effectiveness Grant, in June of 2015, our governor and the state legislature set aside a lot of money to support our beginning teachers again, and part of that was because prior to 2008, we were receiving a lot of funds for programs like BITSA to support our beginning teachers. As we know from the research, beginning teachers need that ongoing support in order to be very effective in the classroom to best impact student learning, but they also need someone to be able to share ideas, you know, share some of those dilemmas, share and celebrate those things that are working really well in the classroom. And we noticed years ago with research that teachers that did not receive that support did not do as well. In fact, many of them left the profession. So that's the basis for this. So when we received this money, our district created a plan. We were given 3 years in order to spend the funding. We chose to do ours in two. And we received $630,000, a little bit over that. And the purpose behind this was to support our beginning teachers in the best way possible. And I haven't actually explicitly seen this in print, but I think part of it too, knowing that right now we still are in a teacher shortage. We have a lot of teachers even in our district that are what I call pre-interns and interns. And they really need that additional support because they haven't received the same amount of training and experience that some of our other teachers have. So to be able to have these funds to give them what they need in order to best impact kids has been something that's been very valuable, and the feedback that they've shared has been very positive as well. So this year, this will be the last year of the grant, so we want to make sure that we spend all of it in by the end of this year. And then, so the group, we have a number of different groups that are supported through our Educator Effectiveness Grant. We have one group that are our experienced teachers that come from other districts, and I'll talk a little bit more explicitly about those. We have our credential candidates, and that's a whole different group as well. We have our pre-interns, interns, the teachers with short-term staff permits, and I'll talk specifically. And then the mentors are also a group that I work with, as well as our administrators. So our experienced teachers, as I mentioned before, they are the ones that come to us with experience from other districts. They do have a clear credential. They have experience. This is the group that really receives the least amount of support from our program. Some of them, though, they have participated in the professional development opportunities that we've encouraged them to be a part of. For two purposes. One of them, to be able to come and share ideas, but also to be able to support their goals, because they're still learning and growing too. And then I've had a number of them that have asked throughout the year, can you come in and observe? I have my principal coming in. I just want to make sure everything's, you know, I'm doing everything well. Or maybe they didn't have a very positive first observation and wanted a little support. I know for myself, when I first meet them, I do share that I had 8 years of experience at Britton School in Sutter. And for me to come to Yuba Feather, it was a transition. I'm not going to lie. I was a mentor teacher there. I thought I was all that. And then going up to Yuba Feather, it's like, oh my, I don't know that I know this culture. So I do share that, you know, like sometimes too, transitioning to another district can be difficult. So I want to be there to support them if there's a need. But they do receive the least amount of support through this grant. Our credential candidates, these are the teachers that come with a preliminary credential. They are part of a 2-year induction program. With that induction program, they're assigned a mentor, and I work collaboratively with Sutter County Superintendent of Schools through the TSIP program, the Tri-County Induction Program, to match mentors. Based on like credentials, I try to also get the perfect match, whether it's a perfect fit at the school site, the same grade level, whatever the case may be, to try to make it be that perfect situation, because for 2 years they have that hand-holding and that support from someone that also walks the same path. So with this this program, they do meet with their mentor and credential candidate at least once a week. Sometimes they're on the same site, so they're meeting all the time through grade level team meetings, PLCs, over lunch, things like that. I mean, that's the ideal situation. And they continue to work on what we call formative assessment strategies, formative assessment practices, so that they continue to learn and grow from each other. This year, they're modifying the program a little bit, where they're going to heavily work on their what they call the individual learning plan, which is a set of goals, so that they'll create these goals, create action plans within them, and then they'll continue to modify the ILP and reflect on how it's working, how they can modify it in order to best meet the needs of students. With this program, I know at the end of June you saw the MOU that goes to Sutter County, where we paid $26.50 per candidate for the mentoring program. So $2,000 of that goes to the mentor plus the benefit piece, and then the rest of it goes for professional development for the mentors. And then the next group, this is a group that I primarily work with and mentor. These are our pre-interns and our interns, because they're not ready for induction yet. They're still working on some of their coursework to get their credential. And it's a shame that they really, at this point, they're not ready to have an actual mentor. So they get me, and I take that role, and they call me their therapist, their cheerleader, their counselor. But to me, it is very rewarding work to be able to work with teachers that are just at the initial stage of this development. So I actually think this group has the greatest challenge, partly because they are expected to do everything that all teachers do, right? But in the evening, they take university courses and are learning and practicing to be a better teacher. They've got homework on the weekends. It seems like every Sunday night, they're like, I've got all this stuff that's due. And there's still a lot of them trying to balance, you know, family life and their kids and all of that. So they work really, really hard. They also have a lot of assessments that they have to take to show subject matter competency. So they're always studying for those. And I'm going to tell you, they are not easy. I don't think that I could pass them. And I know that for many of these candidates, they don't pass the first time. So it's, you know, trying to give them the confidence and the will to keep going. You've got this. And it's exciting for me at night at, you know, 10 o'clock sometimes. They'll text me, guess what, Lisa, you're the first one to know. I just passed this assessment. And I'm like, woohoo, I love it. So this is a group that's very near and dear to my heart. So mentors, we also spend time working with our mentors to train them to be the very best that they can be. I have to be completely honest, we've done a great job of selecting our mentors. They're very highly effective teachers. And I have not offered this year, at least last year, the training that I anticipated that I would. Sutter County has done a pretty good job. I did attend all the trainings for the mentors to make sure there wasn't something that we needed to do that was maybe special or unique to Marysville Joint Unified, or if there are things that I could do to enhance the program, and they've done a really good job of that. I have had some mentors come and participate in some of the professional development that we offer our new teachers, because they'll say, I want to be using the same language that you're using, and so I want to continue with that. May I join the group? And it's, we always say, absolutely. So to have specific mentor training, I have not done that. I've done a lot, little bit of work with individuals or groups of teachers that maybe want a little extra support, and a lot of it's just the confidence building. Here are some of these formative assessment activities. They just want me to look it over to make sure it's, you know, top notch, put a star on it, that kind of a thing. But overall, they're doing very, very well. Administrators within this, they haven't directly been paid or anything, but I have provided professional development to them in a couple of different ways. One way that they receive professional development is through, we have TSIP breakfasts where the director of TSIP actually gives them a little piece to take back to support their growth, to support their work in helping teachers grow, whether they're the new teachers or the experienced ones. We also I've been fortunate to work with Dr. Todd with our think tank group to be able to provide some of the PLC foundational support. So we do that monthly with our administrators, and I feel very blessed to be part of that. And I've also had an opportunity to work individually with administrators, and it's something that's just pretty organic. It just evolves when I'm there to do walkthroughs, or if I have an actual meeting with an intern, oftentimes an administrator will invite me in and we chat about things that are working, things that I could do better to support. So there is that partnership between the administrator and me, and also actually more of a triad with a new teacher as well. All right, I don't know if you guys can see this, but these are the numbers of teachers, the newly hired teachers that fit into the different categories. And you'll see that last year, if you look at the total number, that second to the bottom row, last year we had 97 newly hired teachers. And I also think of those as the year two, so second year are still, in my opinion, newly hired. This year we have less. We still have a few that are to be hired. And part of that, I think the discrepancy is actually with experienced teachers. If you look at last year, we had 31 experienced teachers that were hired, and this year we have 15. And then at the bottom, I have the total number of mentors. And I apologize, in your packet, I put 19 mentors, not knowing that there was a page two. So I went, there are more. So we have a couple of CTE folks that are also mentors and some retired teachers as well. And then looking at the expenditures, we've spent less than half last year. This year I plan on spending it all, because I can easily do that. You'll notice in the packet, and also on this too, that I did have, working a little bit with Jennifer Pasalia, looking at the budget. I mean, she's the expert, and she took a little bit more conservative approach, and we talked a little bit about some of the professional development that was offered. We actually paid that out of Title II, knowing that we had some salary increases for this year. She didn't, you know, she had said something about, I don't want you to feel like you can't offer what you need to offer because you don't have the funding to do it, so let's take a little bit of a conservative approach. We also looked a little bit about that the $106,000 for the MOU to Sutter County. Originally, that wasn't a piece that we had accounted for, but it totally makes sense because this really is to support the induction program. So knowing that, what we did is we put this extra money came out of Title II. This year, I'll totally try to, you know, pay for all of that, depending on what the need is. This year, we did offer a four-day training for our beginning teachers, two of them focused on ELA and math curriculum, and then we did one on creating the classroom that every child deserves, which is the one that I facilitate, and then one on technology and catapult and emergency procedures district-wide. And then, so my role, I feel like between the two agencies, I am that liaison between the two, so I work closely with Sutter County. I mean, it seems like every day there's two or three questions that come up that I am in contact with Rachel and the new director, Claire Toth. I do attend the trainings with our mentors and our beginning teachers that they offer for those that are part of induction. I do provide and facilitate ongoing professional development, and we'll talk about that in a minute. I try to support our administrators in the best way possible through professional development as well. I do a lot of walkthroughs, which helps me understand what kinds of things I need to offer for professional development, what kinds of things I need to work on when I'm working with them one-on-one. Some of the things that the feedback also that administrators give me, those are the things that we make sure that we put into a workshop. If it's just maybe a small group of teachers, I do individual little trainings too, just kind of on the cuff, just where I can pull in, oh, we need to do a little something on learning objectives. So I pull some of those teachers that need a little extra support with that. I work really hard to use cognitive coaching strategies. So I don't go in as a consultant and say, this is what you need to do. It's more of helping them through questioning strategies and planning and reflecting, help them find their way so that there's that sense of empowerment and ownership. We use the continuum of practices, which is a continuum of all the different CSTP, the standards for the teaching profession, where teachers monitor where they currently are, date that, look at the evidence piece, and also look at what the next proficiency level is so that they know where to go, and then I help them try to determine a way to get there. We also spend a lot of time working on some classroom action research, which is totally aligned with our PLCs, where they look at instructional dilemmas and they try to figure out what are past the best practices, what's research-based. And then from there, they develop a plan to impact their students. So what they do is they do try this intervention, collect the assessment data, see if it worked, and then analyze that in order to inform their practices. So it's a model that's very much aligned with our PLCs. And then I also look very hard at the professional development feedback because I want to make sure that if it's truly effective, then it's impacting their instructional practices, it's impacting student learning. And if it's not, you know, to me, it's great that they like the snacks and they like the fun activities, but if it's not impacting those two things, then it really wasn't effective. So that's really important to me. And then some of the opportunities that we have offered for professional development. As I said, this year we were fortunate to be able to have 2 days of ELA and math training. We also did a full-day training on what I think of as more classroom management strategies, creating and maintaining those effective learning environments. We did an entire day on technology, those things that we utilize in our district to support our instructional strategies. I had Jolie and Giselle come out to do catapult and district-wide emergency procedures, and Emmy Stratton did the technology piece. And then they also have summer mentor training as well. And then these are the things that we offered throughout the year. Last year, the first three are for our special ed teachers, so I work closely with Tony Veneer, Jessica Guth, and then some special ed teachers, too, that supported our beginning teachers by doing these workshops. We did Illuminate with help from Amy Stratton. High quality first instruction was something that I did. Differentiated instruction and the action research piece. And then our induction candidates were also part of a cohort. So they chose an area that they were passionate about or one that they had goals that were aligned with that. I apologize, my voice is with allergies, it's really bad. So for this year, I really want to continue in the same manner, but one of the things that I want to make sure that we do is with our professional development, that I want it to be directly aligned with the work that we're doing through PLCs. Because there are some things that I see that we can do more, especially with assessment, with really trying hard to create authentic assessments that really match what the teachers are doing and what the desired outcomes are. And I also want them to be able to have strategies for analyzing the student assessment data and then doing something with it. A lot of teachers are okay with getting the results, but they're not doing anything with it to impact student learning. So we want to take it to that next step. From the feedback that I received from professional development opportunities and also from candid conversations, we really did meet their needs last year, so I want to continue in that way because the feedback that they shared with me is that the program was very helpful, their practices improved, and they felt like that they had done a better job for their kids. So that makes it all worth it for me. And then for my closure, this is sort of silly, but on my last day of school, I'm probably gonna get emotional here, at Browns Valley, I was given this really special chalkboard that says it's a beautiful thing when a career and a passion come together. And let me have a little sip of water. And I feel like that this position totally does that for me. It emulates everything that I am and everything that I want to be. So thank you guys for the opportunity to be able to do what I love and I'm passionate about. Thanks.
So Lisa, I would just like to say thank you very much. I think it is a very, very important program, and just kind of thinking about it, we started the program last year with your, well, 97, but quite a few of those were experienced, and then you got another whole new group this year to try to start molding into that same routine. But I think it is so important to get that extra support, just as you were saying, trying to find teachers and retain teachers is very difficult this day. So I think the more that we can help support those folks with a program like yours, and thank you for everything that you're doing for that. So,
Lisa, I want to say thank you for doing what you're doing. Knowing some of the teachers that have worked with you and having worked with you myself, and talking to people, I think that the program is better because you're there. Without you, it wouldn't be as good. And having been a teacher, when we didn't really have as much support for beginning teachers, I realized how important this is. And if it hadn't have been for people like Bob Wilkerson, my principal, and teachers like Barbara Duyon, I wouldn't have been as successful a teacher as I had been. So thank you for doing what you're doing. We really need this.
Thank you for sharing.
Lisa, you've been a real asset to this district. I remember when you were with the BITSA, with you and Phil Hubbard many years ago, you did an amazing job. I got to admit, when I knew you were going to leave Browns Valley, that bothered me a little bit. But I knew wherever you went, you would do well. And you've done an amazing job in your career in this district.
Okay, now I can gather my little lump in my throat, but thank you again. And working with the new teachers, there's such passion and such a high level of commitment. You guys hired the right ones. I mean, they are a beautiful bunch of people that are here for the right reasons, so I feel honored to be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Comments from board members, Ms. Scott? Mr. Davis? Mr. Allison, Mr. Rasmussen.
Sure, don't want to pass up a time for the mic. So the other day, actually, I just got on our website and started kind of playing on all the different sites, and we have a fabulous website. There's so many support areas for the parents and the students to get extra help that they want. It seems as though our website is very easy to navigate. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Ruta Nelson and whoever else works on our website. They're doing a fabulous job, so thank you.
Mr. Fleury.
Yes, the technology department. When they switched us over on the new internet, I had a problem with it. And I realized last week I lost my phone. Laid it on the side of the truck, ran over it, and I told my boss, you know what, I said it was a blessing, and he said, you look at things so positively. It was a blessing. I got a new phone, and it's amazing what I can get now that I could not get on the other phone. So you got to look at everything as a blessing. But the technology department helped me a lot through that with the old phone and the emails I could not get before.
Mr. Crawford.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board, Marysville Unified Teachers Association.
Hi, I was sure I got here too late. So I wasn't positive I was gonna get to speak, but I would like everybody to kind of hold on to your bootstraps. Tomorrow's our first minimum day collaboration. I just came from Rep Council, I'm sure they're still going on. There are a lot of concerns, and I let them know that the leadership in MUTA and in the district, we know that there's a lot of concerns, and that we know we are going to be evolving in how this is going to work out. First thing I know right away is that communication needs to be better, but that's something we can work on. And I was actually in the midst of writing Mr. Carrion an email about, hey, tomorrow, can we meet? So I'm trying for us to all be very proactive and yet patient. And what I told our site reps is to be patient, but don't be quiet. Let us know what's happening, what's working really well, what's not working so well, so that we can really do the best we can with all of this. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit scattered. I've had quite the last few days. I slept in a rest stop last night for 3 of my hours of sleep. Went to see the eclipse, which was, oh God, awesome. But I did have one thing I wanted to talk with you guys about at some point, and I figure I'll bring it up now. We can talk about it more later. And that is, as the president of the association, I have president leave days that we budget in our budget so that we can pay the district back for the cost of me using a day to do business. And in the past, we've been charged the cost of a sub. And honestly, I don't really look at the books that much, but my treasurer says that this last year is when it started, it may have started before that, that we've been getting charged what's called full freight. So whatever it costs the district for me to be an employee on a day, and that includes, you know, all that fun stuff like benefits and things, that's what we're being charged. And I know that in the past, that's what CTA, the larger CTA, has been charged for days when, like, sometimes I have to go to the leadership conference a day early, so, and CTA pays for that, and they pay full freight. But for things like, I need to be able to visit some sites, I need to get some work done during the school day, that has always been the cost of my sub. And it changed, and it really impacted our budget severely, because we only had $1,000 budgeted for me to be able to do some of that stuff. And I understand that there may be an idea of why would we, you guys, pay for my, you know, union time. It's not like I'm out there, you know, using that time for building up to a strike. I'm really trying all the time to avoid anything like that and trying to avoid grievances. I really try to make it so that our relationship is a really good one and that we're all working toward the same thing here. I don't feel like we're on opposite sides. I feel like we're working together. You know, sometimes we don't agree, but that doesn't mean that we're on opposite sides. We're all trying to do the same thing. So I'm hoping the board will reconsider this. What I've been told is that it's, you know, up to the board. So, yeah, that's it, I think, unless you have any questions. Okay.
Are there any questions? No. Thank you, Inga. Operating Engineers Local Union 3, California School Employees Association 326-648. Association of Management Confidential Employees Supervisory Unit. No public comment cards. Superintendent's report.
I just want to say that we are off to a great start. This school year seems to have been smooth. We are seeing some additional students, and so as we shift numbers and teachers and hire a few more, it's very encouraging to see that school's back underway and our students are back and hold on. I think there are more coming just right after Labor Day. So there are always those who seem to forget school starts a little earlier. So we're ready, and it's nice to have everyone back. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Todd. Additional is good. Approval of minutes from the regular board meeting of August 8, 2017. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Move to approve.
Motion by Mr. Crawford, seconded by Mr. Allison. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. Consent agenda. Does anybody want anything pulled on the consent? If not, is there a motion on the consent?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Davis. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Scott. All those in favor?
Aye.
7 yes. And I believe that was the last item on the agenda. There's no new business. Mr. Fleury wanted to close the meeting in honor of somebody.
This is for Josephine Furr, who has worked in our district for 30 years. She had 9 kids, worked at Oliver School. I think she worked with Gay's husband for many years. She was 85 years of age. Two of her relatives worked for our district, one in Browns Valley and one's in the maintenance. And I knew them for years. They were an amazing family. I actually was their bus driver back in the 60s when the kids were all little, which they're older. But she was a good addition and a good educator for our district. So I'd like to close my memory.
Okay, meeting's adjourned.